Oi, oi, I'm Jimmy Bullard, and this is me old muck of Fenners. We're back together, son. How are ya?
Hey, Bully, great to be back working with you. Well, what are we doing here, though?
We're starting a football club in podcast form. The only thing we know, it's called FC Bullard. After that, it's all up for grabs.
So, we haven't got any players, we haven't got kids, we haven't got a club badge, we haven't got a stadium.
Correct. FC Bullard. Welcome to the club.
This is a crowd podcast.
This episode is sponsored by the locksmith, Jordan Blaylock. To be more like Jordan, go to patreon.com/Joe Marler Show and grow the show today. I've run out of breath.
Joe Marler is a big-hearted man, and he's got a podcast plan. It's the Joe Marler Show. It's the Joe Marler Show. Oh, oh, oh.
Hello, I'm Joe Marler. This is Tom Fordyce. Welcome to our show.
You all right, Joe?
Yeah?
I've noticed something about your appearance today.
Go on, what?
You're looking particularly handsome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In addition to looking particularly handsome, you're wearing a pair of safety goggles.
Yeah.
Can I just say, they actually look quite stylish. Like, if I didn't know they were a safety goggle, because just turn your face sideways.
Which side?
Happy either way.
I'm not.
Okay, to the left. I can see there's some ventilation in the sidearm,
yeah,
which suggests a safety goggle.
Yeah.
If I didn't see those, I would say that could be a stylish clear lens spectacle.
You know Elton John?
No. Of course I know Elton John. Go on.
How well do you know him?
Very well, actually.
Okay. What about Dame Edna?
Yes.
And Ned Flanders?
Yes.
What do they all have in common?
Is it spectacles, Joe?
Yes. And they're iconic for having glasses, aren't they? So I thought, I need that in my life. I need to pick something that makes me iconic. And these are what I'm doing.
People often say, don't they, people who don't wear a spectacle and start wearing a spectacle, often say that they hope the spectacle will make them look more intelligent.
Stop saying spectacle. What does spectacle mean? Where does it come from?
It's a very good question.
Spec.
Would you like me to pause and Google? It must be associated with the other use of spectacle, something to watch. I reckon it is
spectacle, a visually striking performance or display.
One of those.
An event or scene regarded in terms of its visual impact.
Yes.
So you're using it wrong.
What is the origin of it? I'm going to say it's Greek.
Yeah, Greek.
Is it?
Greek for meaning Tom's a wanker.
Are you going to carry on wearing those glasses when you leave the recording studio?
No, to be honest, I'm a bit worried.
Can I try them?
The guests, no. Mm. I'm a bit worried because today's episode might involve it getting a bit messy, you know. Lots of things flying around the room.
So you were worried, but not so worried you'd get me a pair of safety goggles as well.
We've had this before, mate, haven't we? Like, we've been working on our trust and stuff like that. And also alongside working on trust, we've been working on chemistry and how much we like each other, and I don't like you.
So you would rather see me blinded by as yet unspecified flying object,
yeah,
than get a second pair of safety goggles. How much they cost?
I stole them.
Okay, a free pair of safety goggles.
Yeah.
You would rather see me blinded.
Well, it's like that thing you sent me about the polar bear.
Yeah, that was good. That
and
was,
you
yeah.
said he's you, this polar bear can't stand up on ice properly.
Yeah.
It's not a legit polar bear. It's a man in a polar bear suit.
Yeah.
And you said, look, I've laughed all morning at this, and it's hilarious. Yes. But he's in pain in that suit, isn't he? So you're laughing at someone's pain. In the same way, if you are blinded by a flying sausage and you go blind because you're blinded by it,
yeah,
because you ain't got no spectacles on, not bothered.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
Anyway, how are you?
I'm both excited and slightly scared because I'm under the impression that you have been responsible for booking today's guest.
By impression, do you mean impressed?
Well, we'll see how they get on.
Well,
Steve is slightly worried because it's the very first time that neither Steve nor I, using family members, has booked a guest.
Well, I've had a mixed response to people asking who's next on the show. And then when I've told them, they've gone, fucking hell, scraping the barrel there, aren't you? Like, you're just asking your pals because you can't actually get anyone legit on. And the face he's pulling at me after me introducing him like that. Our guest today makes sausages for a living. He used to play a little bit of rugby and we won the premiership together, as well as some other encounters on the rugby field. Remember that one in Biarritz when it was really cold?
Mm.
And you wet yourself.
Just before you have a conversation with him, just finish the introduction. Then.
Yep, sorry. But this episode is not all about that. It's about sausages. Please welcome Ollie Cohn, the founder of the Jolly Og.
Thanks for the intro.
Yeah.
I'm co-founder.
Co-founder. Who else founded it?
So Josh and Ollie Jolly.
Who's Josh?
Josh, my brother.
What about your other brother?
Youngest. Max didn't make the cut in the name.
How would you get, if you had to get his name in there, which aspects of Max would you think would work with Jolly?
Our first name was the Jolly Hog and Sausage Company Limited. Which is like massive, and it's too long.
Yeah.
And then we went down to the Jolly Hog. How we get Max in there, I don't know.
So you're the co-founder, you and your brother Josh.
Yeah, and Max is co-founder as well.
He's a co-founder as well. We can't avoid that.
So I'm like now the heaviest out of the three brothers.
Unbelievable.
Which is incredible achievement considering the other two are big units.
Is that related to your produce?
No.
Have you been getting high in your own supply?
It's just been a massive overindulgence at Christmas. But we do have to panel taste.
I've noticed that. You've brought a massive platter of 50... Is it 15 types or 15... sausages? It's just a platter.
There's six out of our range here for us to try.
Just
there's no
just
meat.
One
free.
Flag. Just one flag. It. I'm very much a meat eater.
Are you?
Tom, what's your sort of meat consumption?
Yeah, I'm not a meat eater, Ollie's. But I imagine there's a couple of veggie sausages in here. Are there for me too, or are all these sausages? Oh.
Nah, I'm sorry. I didn't get the memo from Steve on that. And Steve's a veggie as well.
You're blaming Steve?
Yeah.
Steve told me on the train down today when I went to the buffet car in Carriage Seat. The buffet car.
The what?
Buffet car. What was your problem with buffet car?
Oh, you said it again. Stop saying it.
Why?
It's buffet.
So when I went to the little onboard shop in Coach C, Steve told me that I didn't need to get too much because I was going to be eating some hearty vegetarian sausage fare about an hour later. But I tell you what I'm going to do with these sausages, because I'm going to try and describe them. What I would like you to do, Joe, I'm going to describe the girth and the appearance of the sausage. I would like you to guess the flavour of the sausage, and I would like you, Ollie, to put us right or wrong. The first one I'm going to start with here is a sausage about the size of my index finger in girth as well.
But hang on, what if no one's seen your index finger?
I've got a standard issue index finger.
Have you shown your index finger?
If you were to look down at your own...
It's a bit stubby, actually.
Oh, okay. A little smell from Joe.
Oh, good quality. Fucking hell, you're inhaling your sausages, are you?
I didn't realise you were eating them as well, Ollie. Joe has to eat them to taste them. You don't need to.
Go straight in. No.
Joe, name that sausage.
It's a chipolata.
Joe, name the meat in the chipolata sausage.
It's a pork chipolata.
Correct.
Is it a kid's one?
Interesting fact about chipolatas is that they're made from lamb's casings. So the skin of which the sausage is in is made from a lamb casing, which is lamb's intestine. But it's a pork chipolata, yes. And it's with sage and nutmeg, salt and pepper.
You've mixed lamb intestine with pork bits.
Well, we probably need to strip it back a little bit.
Can you put the mic closer to your
Yeah. Is
chins?
That better?
No, like pull it towards you. If you're going to sit back.
Is that better? Sorry, I'm just getting grease on the mic.
You eat that a bit closer to the mic as well? Because we've got a lot of ASMR fans that they go to sleep listening to this podcast, funnily enough.
Joe, I'm going to give you sausage number two.
Go on.
Sausage number two is a fatter beast and stumpier. I would say it is. Let me see your thumb, Joe. It's like a Joe Marler thumb. People will be familiar with your thumb.
Yeah.
Quite a light internal colour. Name that sausage.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's a bit of sweetness to that. Caramelised onion?
Correct.
Oh.
Bang on.
Bangers on.
Yeah. Why are they called bangers?
Did they used to explode?
Correct.
Yes.
What do you mean? They only explode if you don't... You're meant to poke them halfway through, aren't you?
Never, ever poke a sausage.
What the
That's just a rule.
Fuck? What do you mean, never poke a sausage?
Do you poke sausages at home?
Yeah.
Nah, never do that.
Why
would you do it? You lose all the flavour.
No, you don't.
They bang then?
No, cheap sausages, they were called bangers in the war because they had loads of water in and you cook them and then they explode. But
what?
With a good quality sausage, if you prick the skins, you're losing the flavour. The reason for the skin is to keep the flavour inside the sausage. So never, ever prick a sausage.
I prick all my sausages.
That's crazy.
But I don't lose the flavour, mate, because...
You do. You're opening up a whole world now. You'll have flavour in there.
I don't lose the flavour, mate,
How do you know?
Bangers in the war because they put too much water in them.
Yeah, like when they were rationalising ingredients, they put loads of water in, rusk, and you'd heat them up and they would bang.
Which must have been particularly disconcerting during the war.
Yeah, exactly. A nightmare.
Sausage 3, please, Joe.
Yep.
Girth description, somewhere between the first two. It is bigger than an index finger. It is about 3 inches long.
I like how we started on sausage 1 and 2, Conan, Ollie, cutting it up nicely with a knife and fork, and now he's just lobbing them at me because he can't be bothered to do it.
Quite a straight sausage, that one.
Very straight.
No curl to it whatsoever.
What herbs are you getting in there?
I'm hitting some sage.
Ooh, okay.
I'm hitting oregano. Basil.
Yeah. And what meat?
Pork.
Nope. But that's good that you think it is pork.
I mean, no. Sausages are pork.
That's a chicken sausage.
That's chicken?
That's jolly hen.
That's your chicken sausage?
Correct. But actually, the fact that you think it's pork means that it's doing the right thing in terms of flavour, for me.
That's great.
Yeah.
So is that like a healthier sausage because it's chicken?
Marginally.
What sort of chicken do you put in that? Do you put the beaks in or do you take them out?
No, yes. It's thigh, it's drummer and a bit of breast.
It's nice.
And it's got rosemary and thyme in it.
Yeah,
chicken sausages are a bit more popular now than they were.
Why is the chicken sausage straighter because it's a chicken sausage? Or is that sausage just happens to be a chicken sausage that's straight?
The thing is about the curve in a sausage, so you see these natural curves here, is because they're made from intestine. Intestines are all curled up inside the body. That's what gives it a natural curve. So sausages that are made with a collagen casing, a cheaper, lower tier sausage, is going to be straight and bang on. I'm not saying that that is cheap because that's one of ours, but but that is straighter. So there's curved sausages here. The straighter ones that are kind of more uniform are plastic casings.
Can I just congratulate you, Joe, on, I mean, we've heard the word sausage now 120 times and not once have you chuckled. Is that the safety goggles?
Well, I'm trying to be a little bit more professional with my pal in the studio, do you know what I mean? I want to, like, make him feel like I actually do something these days, do you know what I mean?
Joe, I'm going to get you off the hook by suggesting...
Guess number sausage.
Sausage number 4.
Quick, come on.
Fucking now, this is the biggest sausage on offer. A significant girth, short but punchy, and there seems... Is that a marbling or is that chunks of something in there?
Right, here we go. Oh, yeah. The skin on that one seems a bit thicker.
Yeah.
I guess it's because it's bigger. Do you have to have a thicker skin on a bigger sausage?
No, this is... There we go.
Oh, there's a bit of sweetness in there as well. Mm. Apple.
Yep.
What we got in there?
So this is Porky Black. So this is like our favourite sausage. This is the one that wins all the awards, but it's got dried apple.
Sorry, what was that?
Oh, I just win a few awards. Sorry about that.
Sickening.
Sorry. This has got dried apple in it and chunks of, going in again, black pudding. So we got black pudding, apple. It's fantastic. It is very quite...
Fucking hate black pudding.
Quite a coarse sausage.
No. Why are you saying that to me now? Why didn't you say that before I ate it?
But you loved it, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
And that's the thing. Like, black pudding is quite polarising.
Yeah, I'd say eating dried blood is fucking minging. Not polarising.
It's not. You just said it's nice.
How does that make you feel, Tom? Why don't you eat meat?
That is a very long and boring story. I would suggest
give me a short and fun one, then.
Had a lot of cheap cuts of meat as a kid. A lot of things like mince. Got put off it. Moved away from home. Didn't want to cook it. Carried on not eating meat. Didn't miss it.
Okay, that was a shorter story, but you could have added some sort of fun into it, no?
Do you want sausage number six,
yeah.
Is that?
Yeah,
which
I
would describe it, looks like your classic pig in blanket.
Is that a pib?
I think if there's one thing that could get you back into meat, it would be a pig in blanket.
Can you put the mic closer to your mouth, please?
Yeah.
No, stop moving your head and pull the mic closer to your mouth.
Like that.
Pull it down.
Like,
there you
like
go.
That.
Fuck me, dead.
Okay.
He's the dumbest clever bloke I know.
Here we go.
What's that, pib?
You've done sausage. That in one sitting, Joe. You've not bitten that. You just stuffed
that. That is the world's greatest food. Mm. Meat jammed into like a small intestine, wrapped by another type of meat and made crispy with a shit ton of salt.
Yeah.
Fuck. What else do you want in your life? Sorry, Tom.
Did you know that the pig in blanket in America is a very different beast?
What's their pig in blanket?
Correct me if I'm wrong here, Ollie. The pig in blanket in America is a sausage pretty much stuffed in a croissant.
It's what?
Like a pig in a duvet.
It is like a pig in a duvet.
Well, why the fuck are we not on top of that?
I know.
Why aren't we bringing that out, the jolly duvet fuck?
I don't think that's a great marketing thing.
Okay.
Jolly duvet fuck. if we could not use that. if that's all right. But if there's anything in the budget, I must have to do a research trip out there to do that.
Joe, how many pigs in blankets do you think you could eat in one sitting? Because I remember a conversation with Adam Jones.
Mm.
How many did he have one in one sitting? 60?
He ate 41.
41.
Before a game.
My little brother decided this Christmas to do the ultimate Christmas gamble, which was to buy no food whatsoever until 5 o'clock on Christmas Eve, on the basis that his local branch of upmarket supermarket Booths would then have everything on a massive reduction. It paid off massively, huge turkey bird for almost nothing, but he also got, get this, a 2 metre pig in blanket. Mm.
Do you mean like one long 2 metre pig in blanket, or do you mean 2 metres worth of pigs in blankets?
1 2-metre length pig in blanket, but curled up so it looked like sort of a sausage and bacon maze.
Like a Cumberland swirl.
Like a Cumberland swirl.
Or a boerewors.
Or a boerewors.
Well, I don't know how to say it any other way without an accent. Borrel. If I say it in my world, it's borrowors. That's not what it is.
A circular sausage.
Borrowors. Borrowors.
That's nice. But I've got two questions for you, Joe.
Make
number one, could you eat 2 metre pig in blanket?
All day long.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Secondly, would you have eaten it uncurled, like you're doing basically this massive long one, or would you eat it as he was forced to because his table wasn't big enough, almost like pizza slices of the giant pig in blanket?
I think I'd prefer to eat it uncurled. You know, like the sweet Twizzler things that you used to get as a kid, the bubble gum all wrapped up, and you just like pull it out.
The giant tongue.
So that's, I'd try and unravel it bit by bit and just go zzt, zzt,
yeah.
Zzt, zzt. In sections, you know?
Yeah, no. So on this thread, I did a photo shoot. My mate used to have a big man's clothing company.
What do you mean by big man's? Did you mean it was a big company?
Fat and tall.
Oh,
Blokes, so like, I'm talking like 6XL t-shirts and like...
And you were the face of it,
No, I wasn't. I just did a little bit of modelling for it.
Yeah.
Anyway, we were on this like really kind of fairly budget photo shoot, and it was me... Britain's tallest man, who was 7'7".
Wow.
Britain's strongest man was Terry Hollands at the time.
Yeah.
And a really fat guy called Frank.
Yeah. Sorry, was that his actual title?
Yeah. Well, I didn't call him that, but he was, and his name was Frank.
Yeah.
Anyway, so my brother, I said to Josh, look, there's some guys down there, let's do something. It was in the early days of Jolly Hog, and we did a barbecue, and so we filled up a couple, like a baguette each. To do. So we filled it up, like 6 big sausages in a baguette. Britain's tallest man smashed it. Terry struggled a little bit. I got through most of it slowly, but Big Frank basically drilled it and then drilled another one and then immediately fell asleep into a coma.
A sausage coma.
Didn't get much out of him after that. So, oh. Yeah, 2 baguettes.
Yeah. Zzz, 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 zzz. Right, well, I think we need to get onto, like, a little bit of...
We've got one more sausage.
Oh, have we? Sorry, yeah, let's go. What? Ooh. Why have you resorted to cutting it again? Just give me the whole thing.
Okay.
No. This is also a large girth sausage. I would say approximately 4 inches in length. Good sheen to it with a crispy brown exterior.
Crispy brown exterior. Getting herbs again.
What herbs are you getting, mate?
Bit of oregano.
No.
Chinese 5 spices.
Very good.
Salt.
Salt, yeah, that's not herb, but that's fine.
Oh, it's a bit peppery.
Yep.
Sage.
Correct. Yeah, bang
onion.
On. There's no onion in it.
Oh. Why am I getting onion?
From the earlier one that's still in the back of your teeth.
Oh, yeah, just pick that out.
Yeah, so that's our proper porker sausage, and that's kind
that
of
does taste
simple.
Proper porky.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a bit coarser, so there's some chunks of meat.
Right,
in
what
it.
Sort of percentage of meat am I
84%.
Looking at? 84%. Now, Tom, your uncle makes sausages, doesn't he?
My uncle used to make sausages, yeah, a butcher.
What was his thing? He had a theory about.
He said if you put too much meat in a sausage, people didn't like it.
Yeah, and he's bang on. So, like, actually, the balance between meat content, what cuts of meat, you know, what water, what rusk, what binder you've got in gives it a balance. So some people like a very emulsified sausage. So like a Frankfurter is very emulsified. So it goes through a thin blending plate. Some of them are chunky.
Is that like a Savoy?
Yeah. Very similar.
Is that the same meat that's in a normal sausage?
Well, it depends on what tier. So like a premium sausage will have like belly and prime cuts, like shoulder and belly and things like that, an actual meat. Mm. And then the others will have maybe blended up skin, lots of that. I mean, like historically in a butcher shop might have been sweeping up all of the leftover bits, offal. You know, if you strip it right back, you know, sausages with all the other bits blended up with salt and pepper and then put in intestines. But that's not today. Like today, premium sausages are good cuts. You know what's in them. But yeah, getting that right blend of binding agent and meat is really important because it could be really dry. If it's 100% meat, it'd be really dry. It'd be dusty. And you don't want a dusty sausage.
Have you heard the words dusty sausage and not responded?
Fucking hell, they used to just sweep up all the shit.
Yeah, like so...
Bung it in a blender, a grinder.
So the really early days of sausage was about taking offal, liver, lungs, all the bits, and then putting them back into a stomach lining.
Sounds awful to me.
Very good. And then you preserve it, and you preserve it in salt. So that was the very early days of sausage making, and it's come a long way.
Sorry, we just have to pause briefly there while Joe enjoys his awful joke.
Do you know where the word sausage was first used?
Tell me, Joe.
It was first used in the English language in the mid-15th century, and it was spelt sausage. So, sausage. And that word originally came from Old North France, which was sausage. Spelt sausage. But that originally came from vulgar Latin.
Oh.
From, and that was said, sal. How do I sound Latin?
Italian. Italian.
Oh, Italian. Oh.
That's French.
Oh, yeah.
Hey. Buongiorno. Salsica. Meaning edible meaty phallus.
What? Edible meaty phallus.
Yeah, that's from Latin, salsica, meaning edible meaty phallus.
I thought it came from a word called salsus, which is Latin for salt.
So, yeah.
What sites are you looking at, mate?
So maybe you're right, because it salsica came from the word salsus, meaning seasons with salt, okay?
Mm.
But if you break down salsicus to salsica... Mm. Salsica actually translates directly to edible meaty phallus.
Did you ever consider that as an alternative name for the jolly hog?
The jolly edible meaty phallus.
Mm. Whoa, fantastic.
It's original.
Perfect for retail.
You're going to stand out. They're going to go, look at that phallus.
Mm.
It looks jolly.
You should get into branding. Edible. You should get into branding.
Does every country have a sausage, Ollie?
Yeah, they do. They have their own specific kind of regional sausages. So in the UK, we've got lots of different regions, and they'll all say that ours is the best. So you go to Gloucestershire, is about pork and apples and cider. You've got a Cumberland sausage, you've got a Lincolnshire sausage. So all across the world. So Spain, you've got chorizo.
Pardon?
I said chorizo, but that's a bit wanky, isn't it?
Should I say chorizo? I don't know. How do you say it? Because I say hayo.
What about paella? Paella.
That got sausage in it.
Yeah, but I'm just saying about how you pronounce it. But I guess, so yeah, in terms of like...
So what do we say, chorizo or chorizo?
Give that me again.
Do you want chorizo or do you want chorizo?
What was yours, Ollie?
Well, I always say chorizo, but just then I said chorizo and I'm a bit annoyed with myself.
He's trying to be upmarket.
Yeah, I'm in London.
He's so swanky. Okay, what about... So chorizo is Spanish, is it?
Yeah.
There's also an Italian version, isn't
And a
there?
Mexican
and
version.
And a Mexican,
yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
What's the national sausage of Germany?
Bratwurst.
Okay, do we know anything about the Bratwurst?
Yeah. Are they the sausage capital of the world?
Yeah, 100%.
Have you been to Germany?
I have. I went on Josh's stag do.
Okay.
Yeah, we dressed them up.
Did you do any, like...
Research.
Yeah.
Yeah, loads of sausage research. Did a fair bit in the beer halls. They know they're wearing round pork and sausages. So, yeah, it is a more emulsified sausage. Quite a lot of the time it's smoked. So you see that at a lot of the Christmas markets.
Just people walking around with
smoking sausage. On the sausage.
Love it.
So yeah, that's what they do in Germany. Smoked sausage.
Okay, what about the
No idea.
You've never heard of the Lau Lau sausage?
What is it?
It's a Lau Lau sausage.
Okay.
The Lau Lau sausage is a sausage from the Philippines, and it's made from peacock.
So close. It's actually from Hawaii, and it's fish mixed with pork.
Oh, nice.
Traditionally, it used to be wrapped in leaves, so they'd put fish meat and pork, mix it together, a load of herbs and salt, you know, salty meaty member.
Yeah.
And then wrap it in leaves and then cook it underground. It'd be like a big old salami-type stick. They obviously don't do that all now. They do it a little bit more legit, but it's fish and pork sausage. Is that making your mouth wet?
The interesting bit is, like, there's so much you can do with sausage. And I think also people, a bit like bacon, people have got lots of great memories of smelling bacon. There's kind of that emotional attachment with sausages and bacon. I don't know whether you guys agree or not.
Smelling?
Yeah.
Well, when I smell, like, shit bacon, it takes me back to when I used to microwave it to cook it. Remember when I told you that? Fucking livid.
Yeah.
Like, oh, mate, you can't be microwaving bacon.
It's when you wanted a job at the Jolly Hog and you didn't get it, basically, on that.
Joe, I think we need an ad.
Joe is currently eating a very upmarket piece of bacon. We'll have an advert there and come back for some tasting notes of the said bacon.
We can't come back straight away, mate. I've fucking got eight.
Have you ever felt like escaping to your own desert island? Jane Gaskin did exactly that, trading in the family home to begin a new life in the tropics. But she soon discovers that paradise has its secrets. I'm Alice Levine, and this is The Price of Paradise, the island dream that ends in kidnap, corruption, and murder. Wish you were here? Follow The Price of Paradise now, wherever you listen to podcasts.
What is this bacon, Ollie?
This is our black treacle bacon, sort of like thick cut, dry cured. So cheap bacon gets injected with brine.
What, to make it salty?
Water. So you know when you fry bacon and water, white stuff comes out?
Yeah.
That's cheap. That's brine. And then a dry cure, more artisan bacon, is hand rubbed with salt. That's what that is.
How was that bacon for you, Joe?
It was a damn sight better than the shit I'm reading here about Korean sausages.
Tell me.
Oh, a Korean sausage, also known as a sundae. It's just blood sausage. They just put sausage in an intestine and boil it. How the fuck is that any good? Are you eating that? If I offer you a Korean sundae sausage on any day of the week, it doesn't just have to be them.
Yeah.
Are you going to eat it?
100%.
What?
Try it, yeah, why not?
No.
What, blood sausage?
Yeah.
It's one of your favourite films, Joe, isn't it, Blood Sausage?
Right. This is ridiculous. Right,
that's very good.
I've also been doing a little bit more research on different names for sausage. So I'll just go through them. Right, we got chode, chopper, cock, dick, member, tall, wang, todger, plonker, knob, winkle, pecker, willy, schlong, custard launcher, ding-a-ling, fuck pole, love truncheon, meat puppet, Peter, pork sword and a virile member. I knew I couldn't do the whole episode. What amazed me, though, is doing research, looking into it, used to be all offal of meat and shit, and then put into intestines. I was like, fucking hell. Thank God they don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
And yet you've just described the sausages as still being put into intestine.
A premium sausage now is still, it still goes into... So this one is a hog casing. So that's pig intestine.
Yeah.
And then this one's lamb casing. And then when you go into big salamis, that's a cow runner, or a middle, they call it.
A runner?
Yeah. It's in the colon.
The big salami is like a cow runner, so like intestine. So, yes, it still goes back into the intestines and stuff. But, I mean, as I say, that's not an all sausage.
Is the thinking there, the reason for using intestine was just practical purposes, was it? In that you had a bit of intestine knocking around?
Yeah, so after butchering a pig, you've got all of the intestine and there's nothing really to do with it, but it's a perfect way. It's a very convenient way. If you think about it, you can grind up all the meat and all the bits, put it with salt, put it back in the intestine, preserve it, cure it, or cook it, and it's in a carrier. You can you know, stick a sausage in your pocket.
You know many people that just... Right, so
in fact,
you're going to walk around with one of those sausages in your pocket, are you?
In fact, when I was at school, and I think I was doing a bit of a deep dive as to why I love sausages, is I think at school, Mum used to give me a quid for lunch, and I used to put on the tray two sausage and chips, as in two plates of sausages and chips. Add one sausage and chips on each plate, if I've described that right. I'd nail one plate of chips, put a sausage in my pocket before I got to the till, and then I only had to pay for one.
Did you get a greasy pocket?
Yeah, but it was worth it. That's where it came
the
from, maybe.
Sausage
I don't know.
Smuggler.
Yeah.
Sausage pocket. Would you have that sausage that you'd smuggled straight away, or would you keep it back for a later point in the day?
I'd usually just bang it in, because... I was always hungry, you know? I was a big unit.
Why didn't you put both sausages in your pockets? And you're not paying for sausage at all?
Because it was a straight-up quid for sausage and chips. And I don't know. I had quite a good plan. I thought it was quite good.
People absolutely love sausages.
Yeah.
Do you get fan mail over people like going, oh, my God, I love your sausage? Because I obviously tell you regularly. I rang you up the other day when I was in the supermarket and... I saw your sausages and I said, I've got a ring Conan to Daisy. And she went, why? I just wanted to say, I'm really proud of you. I love your sausages and I can't believe I still see them in all these supermarkets.
I did love you calling me, actually. It was really nice because I think you genuinely meant it.
He still says, I think.
Yeah.
I do. And we do. Like, we get some lovely, lovely messages. Like, we'll like, open them. I mean, we also get some complaints, I'm going to be honest with you, but we get lovely, like...
What would the complaint be?
Handwritten letters of people that all spend time writing a letter to say, I love your sausage. We had a Christmas card saying, Merry Christmas, your sausages taste great, I love your sausage. And it was from June. Her name was June. Love from June. I don't even know who she is.
Did you recognise the handwriting?
Was that you? Nah, of course. No, you wouldn't do that. And then we've had like people message us like really funny, comical things through the website, or say, your scotch egg makes me fizzy in my pants and stuff like that. Fucking hell. I've been lowered. Oh, mate, you've lowered me down. You've broken me down. Fuck's sake.
I haven't said a word, mate. You're the one talking.
Yeah.
So, Tom, you don't eat meat.
Mm-hmm.
Steve's doesn't eat meat. Daisy doesn't eat meat. And there's also lots of other people out there that don't eat meat.
The longer you go not eating meat, the weirder meat becomes, because you lose that connection with it. And when you go to a butcher's, you literally see half an animal hanging up.
So none of your reasoning is because of the ethics behind killing things to eat?
Not originally, although I can sometimes borrow a bit of that chat if I'm having an argument with someone in the pub. Deep down, I'm less bothered by that. But Daisy, that matters to Daisy, doesn't it?
It does. Like,
what matters to Daisy?
She mainly doesn't eat meat because she doesn't like the cruelty to the animals, the fact that they're killing animals.
Mm.
And you must get that same old chat, like...
I like the fact you call it that same old chat. Like, you're already bored with Daisy's chat. That same old chat.
Same old chat.
No, well, I only say that about Daisy because she's happy to eat a prawn and a bit of salmon, not worry about them, but she don't want to see a cow die. Anyway... What's the crack with the meat industry and ethically at the moment? It's under a bit of fucking, under a bit of heat. Mm. Last few years, Cowspiracy comes out. It says it's killing the world, using so much water. You're shoving a shitload of brine and shit in sausages. I mean, just
bacon.
That's bacon. What's the crack? Does it do your nut in?
Does it do my nut in? This could go really deep. And it is actually a really interesting thing that could go on for a long time. I think... The meat industry is, and I'm not an expert, so I'm not going to pretend to be an expert
we're fully aware of that.
of the whole of the meat industry, but it is something I feel very passionate about. And I think as an overarching thing, we have in the UK incredible farming welfare standards. We've got really good retailers and we've got really good processors that make our stuff. One thing we're not good at as an industry is talking about how good we are. And actually, since a lot of these documentaries have come out and a big shift towards veganism and vegetarianism, there's some big noise being created. Does that compare to how many people actually are vegan in the UK? Probably not. Interestingly, I think during the lockdown period, if you went into supermarkets, people were reverting back to kind of what they knew. They were going back to mints and things like that. But we as an industry aren't very good. We're scared almost to talk about how great the benefits of meat. Is there a movement towards reducing the amount of meat that we eat? Definitely. Is that right? Yeah, I agree with some of it. One thing I fully strongly believe is people should spend more on meat. So they should be prepared to spend more because it's...
It's convenient.
No, but no, I know. And this isn't, this isn't a sales pitch. This is, I feel passionately that if you go to farms and you see how hard people work to get that meat into that pack onto people's plates, sharing with a family, it shouldn't be sold for cheap. People should value it. And it's because it's been driven down, everyone gets squeezed on margin, everyone gets squeezed on quality. And that is where I think the issue lies. So people, I believe, should be spending more on good quality meat. And actually, you know, if people decide to dial out and eat less meat in the week, that's fine, as long as it is good quality. So if you're having a bacon sandwich and you used to have three a week, bacon sarnies, or five or six like yourself, and you wanted to reduce it down because Daisy was in your ear, then and you were going to have one, make it a bloody good bacon sandwich. Make it really good bacon, dry cure bacon, smoked in a sourdough with butter and a really good ketchup, and have it as a treat. Do you know what I mean? That's my view on it. But, and I'm not going to get deep on veganism and things like that, but I think as an industry, we should be talking passionately about how great it is and the nutritional benefits of meat as well.
I know what you're thinking, Joe. When Ollie has said, rather than six bacon sandwiches, have one really good one, you're thinking, why not have six really good ones?
Exactly.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm having six quality, top quality bacon sarnies without the brine.
Do you remember after games, we religiously text each other saying what we were eating? Because basically, as a rugby player, and I kind of forgot this over the last 10 years, look at the shape of me, look, you could eat whatever you wanted. So you could play a game and eat whatever you wanted. You could just smash the calories. And then it was usually pretty disgusting what you text me, wouldn't it?
Yeah, the regularly, on the reg, it would be two Big Macs, two cheeseburgers, both meals. So fries, with it. We'll have a full-fat Coke. I usually pick up 9 to 20 nuggets, depending on how many minutes I've played. A McFlurry, just to wash it down with. That would be my regular. But now, because times have changed, the game's gotten quicker, more professional, I just miss off one of the cheeseburgers.
Wow, you're so disciplined.
Joe, have you been affected at all by that? Because I know you've watched Cowspiracy. Have you been affected? Has it affected the way you feel about meat?
It did make me think, actually, after watching that, I did 2 weeks vegan with Days, which was fucking... I went to make a cheese sandwich, and she was like, what are you doing? I went, I'll make a cheese sandwich. There's no meat in it. She went, you get the fucking milk from the cow. I really struggled with that for 2 weeks, but I did feel a little bit better. But I don't know whether that was just because I was eating less and I was about 4 or 5 kilos lighter.
How far has the days gone? Does she like have honey and stuff?
Oh no, she's not vegan. We just tried being a vegan for 2 weeks. Pescatarian.
Oh, okay.
Or a flexitarian.
Yes.
What's a flexitarian?
A flexitarian is, so if you were put it in sausage terms...
which we should.
You'd have the sausage here would be 50% beetroot, mushroom, some sort of vegetable, 50% meat.
What's the point in that?
I don't know, mate. I don't get it.
This episode is sponsored by the following. The Bear, Rupert Ellingham. What's on the telly? It's Ellie James. Andrew John, Hampstead Heath. Claire Blacko or Blaco, Claire, we still don't know. Jim Wood, would you? He's Dutch, he's German, he's English, it's Niels von Hinton Reed. Sit down, it's James. No way, Andy McKay. The long arm of Alistair Blacklaws, King Louis Morgan, like Driftwood, Jack Travis. Young man, there's no need to feel down, I said, yeah, it's Ryan Youngman. He's a Pratt, but he's our Pratt, Jonathan Pratt. And nibble, nibble, Stuart Kibble. To be more like all of them, go to patreon.com/Joe Marler Show, become an official sponsor and grow the show today.
Hello, I'm Katie Puckrick, and I've got a podcast called .com. It's the documentary series about the people of the internet. And series 2 about Reddit is out now.
To me, Reddit is one of the last bastions of actual communities online.
We uncover the truth behind some of the biggest, most shocking stories of the century.
I feel like every time there's some big scandal going on, Reddit is 100% a contributor and an antagonist to it.
Just search for .com, that's D-O-T-C-O-M, and subscribe now.
Joe, if you had to give up one meat, I'm going to list some meats and you've got to give them to me in the order that you would give them up. So what we'll have at the end is we'll have the last meat standing. Okay? Pork. Mm. Might have to help me here, Ollie. Mm. Pork, mm. chicken, mm. beef, mm. mutton. So bottom up, what are you trimming first from your diet?
Well, none of it.
You have to.
Get rid of the mutton.
Okay.
So, what do you go lamb instead of mutton?
Yeah, go get rid of the lamb and the mutton.
Okay.
Don't like neither. Get rid of the beef, not having it.
So this comes down to a battle between...
pork.
And...
chicken.
Nah.
They're in the final, chicken and pork.
Yeah, pork.
Every time?
Every single fucking time. I grew up with a diet of microwaved bacon, baked beans with lumps, knobs of butter put in it to make it creamier for some reason.
Make it creamier.
And pork scratchings. Mm. That's my diet growing up, and it was fucking... gold.
Okay, so if pork is the winner, I'd like to know the winner within the pork family. So you can only eat one type of pork.
Mummy pork, mummy pig.
Ollie, can you help me with the types of
in terms of
pork?
Cuts, so yeah. You go, right.
So you have a bacon.
Belly pork.
Oh, yeah. Slow roasted.
Yeah, so you could get into bacon.
Okay.
Sausage.
Yeah.
Salami.
Okay.
A gammon?
A gammon.
A gammon.
Not just for Christmas.
Yeah, but a gammon. Do you know gammon is an what's gammon?
Salty pork.
Nope, it's uncooked ham.
What?
That's what we serve here. So a gammon is an uncooked ham. Once you cook it, it's called a ham. And in America, do you know what ham is?
Uncooked gammon.
Yeah, it's just ham. They don't say gammon. They just say ham.
So which one are you left with once you dispense with all
the
other
pork?
What about
the pork shoulder?
Oh, well, you've got like different. So you could have the trotter. I mean, you can eat the whole pig, right?
Pig cheek.
Pig cheek's fabulous.
Ooh.
Scratchings.
What are the scratchings?
The skin.
Skin. Yeah. Oh.
You can have a crispy pig's ear.
I think I'm going to go with the belly pork.
Yeah.
Belly pork.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Definitely.
Of all the meats, we've gone through all the meats and all the porks. Your last meat standing is belly of pork.
Just talking about pork belly, this Christmas, we decided... I was going to deep fry the turkey.
What?
Which was a big shout, and then I bottled it.
How the fuck are you deep frying a turkey?
Yeah, I didn't do it, but I was going to do it. It's an American thing.
How big was the 18, bird?
It was 7 kilos, had it all set up, but then it was pissing down outside, and obviously deep fat frying a bird outside is dangerous. So
that's the best sentence this podcast has ever heard.
Deep fat frying a bird outside is dangerous.
Yeah, so we didn't.
Anyway, opposed to indoors.
Anyway, I wasn't doing it. I didn't cook the turkey. I did cook the turkey, but I didn't deep fry it. But what I did do is I had a porchetta on the side.
What's
so
that?
There's a loin joint, pork belly loin joint, deboned, stuffed, rolled, and cooked slowly, and it was so good because you had all the crispy crackling, you had all the soft kind of meat inside, and it went down a storm. So you had a slice of turkey, porchetta, that was the main event.
I love saveloys.
Oi oi.
Why do people say oi oi saveloy?
Don't know.
Because it rhymes.
Is that it?
Well, what other word rhymes with saveloy?
Yeah, but the thing is, you wouldn't use the words oi oi as a greeting on their own, would you?
Well, unless you were saying oi to someone who was called oi.
Or saveloy.
Oi. Cool. I love saveloys. What's in them?
It's just pork. So it's all the crap cuts that we talked about.
So it's shit cuts of pork.
Yeah.
Ground up.
But
why
is
it so like...
Just going back to that shit cuts of pork, I'm a big fan of using the whole animal.
Yeah.
If that animal's going to be laid down, let's make sure that we use it all. So if it is the shit cuts, I've got no issue with that. If we blend it all up and it goes in a saveloy and it tastes great, or you deep fry it at the chip shop and have it with curry sauce, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's when we don't use the whole animal. But yeah, it is all the cuts blended up through a kind of a fine mincer. When we started lockdown, I started having pigs myself, and I've had like 3 or 4... Fuck's sake.
Just picturing that, your legs up on stirrups.
And there's lots of different breeds. They're so interesting, pigs. They're great. And there's different ones for different things, whether you want pigs for bacon, whether you want pigs for sausage, whether you want them...
Social occasion.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you still got your pigs?
No. I've actually just taken to my mother-in-law. My little coonies have gone to my mother-in-law. So they were the only batch that we had that the kids fully became attached to. And they were like, Daddy, no way are we turning these into salami. And so I took them to Sussex. And they're living a wonderful life in the woods now. We'd like to have
are they really?
They genuinely
are. They really?
100%
or are. Is that the story you told the kids? No.
They haven't grown at all, Daddy. These are the same fucking pictures.
No, they genuinely have.
But yeah, I did.
But you had other pigs, didn't you?
Yeah, I've had Berkshires.
So what did you do with them? You bred them, did you?
I got them as piglets.
Yeah.
Grew them. And then I loaded them into the truck and took them to an abattoir myself. And I thought, and actually, and without going too serious and too deep, I think it is really important that people know that process. Because how many people don't actually know how a sausage works? And I didn't come on here to kind of, like, freak
well, just,
you out about
just briefly
how...
talk us through that process then. Okay. I want to know how that sausage I'm eating there
yeah.
became that from, what was your pigs called?
So our first batch, we called Big Pig and Little Pig. And original. It was just two pigs.
Yeah.
Because we didn't want to give them names like Harmony and Ron.
Babe.
Babe, exactly. So we got them at 6 weeks old and set them up. They lived outdoors. They had a sty. They grazed on grass and in a bit of a woodland. It actually had a little apple tree in it, so they loved all that. Pigs prefer not to be really hot. They love a bit of shade. So actually, but having pigs in winter gets a bit mucky, but if it gets too hot, it's actually quite dangerous for them. And then at about 6 months, 7 months, took them to our local slaughterhouse, which was an interesting experience. And there really is good slaughterhouses and bad ones, I believe. But it was all really good, and took them off and then got them back. And I butchered them myself.
What?
Yeah.
Did you have them back whole? As in, you know, when you see them hanging.
Depends how much detail you want to go into on this, because I don't want to put people off sausages, because that ain't good.
Well, this is real, isn't it? This is how it's done.
I got them back in half.
How do they kill him in the slaughterhouse?
Gun, knife.
So they get sold. They get stunned, but with a gas, and then they get cut in the jugular. We don't want to go into this. So in the jugular, and then through a system, and then I got them back in half, and then butchered them. I wouldn't say I'm an expert butcher by any means.
Was the skin off at this point?
Skin's on, intestines out. You can have it head on or head off.
Could you still recognise them?
So you can tattoo the pig. So I've got it's called a pig slapper. So you can either ear tag them or slap
brand.
Them. Brand them. And the brand looks like some sort of medieval kind of instrument. You put ink on the end and then you slap them. It sounds awful, but they can't feel it because they've got like pretty thick skins. And then an ear tag as well. So you can identify that you're getting your pigs back. Because that's really important, isn't it? Like, you know, you're getting your ones back. And then butchered them up. And then I'll never forget the first day we sat down with my kids who'd spent lockdown with these pigs and Ella. And I looked at Ella and I was like, this is it. Kind of, this was a pork roast. And she said, right, let's do it. And we went, right, kids, just to let you know, these are our pigs. And they tucked in and that was it. And they were fine.
So that, I'm interested as to why you were like, you don't want to talk about this. You don't want to hear this. It's like, that's exactly what we want to hear. Why wouldn't we want to know where our meat comes from? And how much better did it feel having reared those pigs yourself? You've gone through that process.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, not everyone can go and do that. Not everyone's got the chance to rear a pig and stuff. But if there's companies out there like yours that are putting in that extra effort to make sure the pigs' lives are good and that the meat is ethically sourced, etc., etc., how much better did it taste? How much more satisfying was it that actually I did that, we did this, and...
Yeah, I think look, we've got a responsibility, haven't we, to like know these things. And as I said before, kids don't necessarily know where everything comes from. And I really enjoyed going through that process and having a deeper understanding of it. And it goes the same, like we've all got responsibility. So outdoor bred, there's lots of different welfare standards. If you get to chicken, there's loads of different flock standards from organic, free range, all the way down to battery. Understanding these things is really important.
When you took your two pigs to the slaughterhouse,
yeah.
was there even briefly a sort of little heartbeat where you felt, not guilty is the wrong word, but you just felt a little bit of emotion for them?
Yeah, 100%. And it was interesting process. But what it's highlighted, it's highlighted to me how much I really enjoyed the process, which without sounding sick, it's like, actually, it gives you an appreciation of everything that goes into it. Because we fed them, we watered them, we made sure they were good. And, you know, all the way through to a fantastic pork roast.
You remember that episode of, I think it was one, it was a fifth.
Are you thinking Rebecca Lewis?
No.
Okay.
Fuck!
Rebecca Lewis did something famous to a pig, didn't she?
Did she?
Yeah.
She wanked off a pig?
I think so. Steve's? Yeah.
What, dead or alive?
It was alive.
She wanked off an alive pig? What for?
I don't know, actually. Kicks?
She wanked off a live pig for TV.
Yeah.
It was a celebrity programme, hold on.
Fucking hell! I know TV's gone to shit, but...
This was a while ago as well.
Oh, God, fuck me. Are you doing some... Don't Google that, mate. That's going to be on no, your
I'll just do Rebecca Lewes first. There we go.
Yeah, because if you're breeding pigs, you can sign up to a thing where they get hot pig sperm from a boar biked to you that same day to then inseminate.
Why does it have to be hot?
I just said hot because it sounds better.
Yeah,
hot, it actually might be chilled.
Yeah,
fuck knows.
Hot pig spunk definitely sounds better than cold pig spunk. Jeez. How do you inseminate that then? Is that what you've got in your hand on the table that I'm looking at?
No, this is a stuffer, but it might be something similar to that.
What's a stuffer?
Bloody hell!
What are you doing with that? Shit. What is that?
It's like a giant football pump. This
it is a thing that you can use at home. You put the meat in here. And then you press it in through the skin. You put the skins on here, and then it pushes out the sausage. So it just stuffs the sausage. It's a sausage stuffer.
It's pretty self-explanatory then, but thank you for explaining it anyway.
No problem.
And what's that metal thing you've somehow attached to the table?
It's a mincer.
Right. Is that yours?
It is mine, yeah. This is just one that you can use at home that you put in the chunks of meat.
So we've got any meat. Stainless steel, is it, Ollie?
It is, and it's got a handle.
So you grind the, you basically grind the meat. You turn in the handle, therefore, so you've got a aperture at the top that you'd feed the meat into, and then basically facing me and Joe is what looks like the end of a very large garden hose.
Yeah, and so the meat gets cut, minced up through here, and you put it through. You can pass it through as many times as you want in terms of blend.
And then you put it in your stuffer. You
take it out there, put it in there, push it through.
Do you put your sheath on the end
and
roll it down, and then you stuff the meat through the sheath?
Yeah, exactly that. You get your skins on there, you just bind them on, and you push it through, and then you get sausages.
Rebecca Lewes, Joe. In October 2004, Rebecca Lewes made a controversial appearance on the reality television programme The Farm. The Royal Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals accused producers of pandering to, quote, a morbid and sordid fascination with farm animals. There's no mention of what she did with the pig.
Well, they're not going to write, oh, Rebecca Lewes wanked off a pig.
No, I mean, they could probably phase it in a different way.
Yeah.
But there's no mention of the pig whatsoever. It definitely happened, though.
So she masturbated a pig until ejaculate came out. Is that how they would phrase it? Right, my sources have come through, and Rebecca Lewes does not, I repeat, does not regret the alleged David Beckham affair. What?
That was different.
Oh, okay. Rebecca Lewes does not regret alleged David Beckham affair or wanking off of a pig. Now she has a dream Viking life. What the fuck is that headline? How? Jesus Christ. Anyway.
What does a dream Viking life entail?
Eating meaty sausages from Jolly Hog and Sausage Company.
Nice.
Yeah.
Just the Jolly Hog now, innit?
Oh, the Jolly Hog.
Is there any sausage that you wouldn't eat, Ollie? And I don't mean this as an insult. I'm thinking of a time where I was in Lyon during the 2007 Rugby World Cup, and my friend Dersey, who I was travelling around France with for that World Cup, had andouillette, which is basically the smelliest thing in existence in the world.
Andouillette?
So, yeah. It's intestine, but a big bloaty one. And you cut it open, and as soon as you cut it open, I think it must be a lot of offal. It just bang. It is super stinky.
That sounds like haggis. Like haggis is like lungs, liver, all the bits inside minced up into this casing, and then you split it. I don't think you eat. Did he eat the casing? Did you eat it?
I didn't eat it. I think it was so smelly. You had to commit to it. It's one of those things where you had to get your head down, eat, because if you sort of reared back from it, looked down.
Is that why you went veggie?
I'm looking at pictures of it and it's fucking horrific. It's coarse grain sausage made with pork, occasionally veal, chitterlings, also known as intestine, pepper, wine, onions, tripe. What the fuck is tripe?
Tripe is like innards.
Oh, so it is exactly what you just said, but why does it stink so hard?
Is it the way they cook it?
Is it fermented?
I'm out of my depth on andouillettes here. Would you take one on, Ollie?
Yeah, I'd take it. I'd take most things on, whether I enjoy that and that. Would I try any sausages? Yes. I do like them all. I'm not big into cheap sausages. I wouldn't eat loads of cheap sausages.
But this isn't cheap. This smelly one is a little bit like the cheese that we had where I can't remember the name of it, but Ned talked to us about the maggots eating the bacteria on the cheese and then and dying on it.
That's it.
And then you eat the cheese.
With the maggots.
With the maggots. And you're like, fucking hell.
Jesus.
On that note, I think we should really wrap things up here and say ta-ra.
Thanks so much for having me, mate.
If you're listening to this and you like sausages as much as I do, then make sure you look out for any Jolly Hog products in any supermarket, pretty much now. You're killing it,
There's quite a few.
So
I can rattle them off, but it'd be
cheap. It'd be as quick as you can. You've got sausages.
Sainsbury's, Tesco, Co-op, Waitrose, Ocado.
Single best sausage, if people have never tried a Jolly Hog sausage, Ollie, the sausage they should go for is...
The Porky Black. Pork, black pudding, dried apple, but our best seller's proper porker.
I'd recommend the caramelised onion one, because it's fucking fantastic.
Thank you.
Cheers, mate. Thanks for coming on.
Mate, thanks for having me on. I've enjoyed it.
We managed to get through it just about.
It got filthy at one point, didn't it?
Yeah, between you two, you fucking pair of children. On Joel Marler's
show. Are you definitely sure, Joe, that we're still having lunch? Because I'm just looking at the empty tray in front of me, and can something be really empty? Emptiness is an absolute. But there were 16 sausages, Joe, and now there are none.
That's what they call a sausage-tizer. That's that's just the little warm-up. That's the stomach stretcher. You know what I mean? That's the stomach fluffer. It's just a bit of padding around the place.
An amused sausage.
And then I'm going to go smash up the trio of pork in the Vietnamese shop around the corner. Is that right?
That's great. You've also found something on your phone.
Yeah, I was gutted we didn't get round to it because there's this hotel in, believe it or not, Germany. Is that Germany?
That was Dutch.
Bratwurst. This Bratwurst hotel.
A hotel of sausage?
Yes, it's a sausage hotel.
Where is the sausage hotel?
Well, obviously it's in Germany with the accent. And it's called Bratwurst. And it is literally a sausage hotel. Look at this room. Look how cool that room looks. It's every type of sausage you can think of is plastered all over the wallpapers. You've got pig head silhouettes on the headboards. You've got giant sausage pillows.
Is it definitely a pillow?
You've got a pig in the shower silhouette. Oh, you name it, it's got it. Look, oh, it's got sausage appetizers on the side as you go in.
That's a disappointing image. Shall we? Oh, what's that?
Oh my God, this has gone on to something else.
Right.
I think when you googled Sausage Fest Hotel.
This is ignore that. Oh, it's a reasonable price. Oh, wonderful. €92 a night. I'll take that. Thank you.
Well, Joe, while you book in, I'm going to tell our listeners how they can support the show. You can now subscribe on Apple, Spotify and Patreon. Search for Joe Marler Show. For just £1 a week, you can now get bonus content, ad-free episodes, and you'll be growing the show at the same time.
Yeah, and to buy a bobble hat, go to joemarler.co.uk/shop and place your order today.
If you would like another podcast to listen to in the meantime, let me tell you about the Sam and Billy Show. This is with Sam and Billy Fares, who have their own...
They better be plugging ours, mate. They're fucking smashing it out of the park.
This is with Sam and Billy Fares, who have their own neon sign. Joe, we don't have that yet. They have a fancy studio with a camera. Go and search for the Sam and Billy Show in your podcast app. They're sisters, best friends, mums, entrepreneurs, and the podcast gives you all the behind-the-scenes chat from their lives.
A neon sign? I want a neon sign.
All right, Diva.
No. That's a deal breaker. If I don't get a neon sign sorted next week, I ain't having it. I ain't doing it. This is over. It'll be game over. End of. No more finitoed, finished, goner. Neon sign next week.
Do you mind what the neon sign says, or can Steve just go down to Piccadilly and get one?
I'm not even going to stoop to your level and answer that. You make me mad inside. Who have we got on next week?
Joe, this is big news. We have a refugee.
Okay, I'll stay an extra week for that one because that seems good. But after that week, if we haven't got the neon sign, I'm a goner.
Fair play.
Capiche?
Big time.
Perfect.
Crowd Network. A place where you belong.
Sports Social Podcast Network.